Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights-on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The Brain Massage Show releases truth antibodies in the brain that attack and destroy liberal lies.
Hello, I'm Jimmy Scheidbach, pastor of Lighthouse Baptist Church and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Co-opting the American conscience. Liberals, progressives, Alinskyites, whatever you want to call them, use guilt to manipulate the American conscience, and they do it well. They capitalize on a weak conscience that's developed in this country, and like a bit in our mouths, and then with their accusatory pontificating over us, like they use those like reins, you know, on the horse's bridle to steer America ever leftward. And my friend, they're driving this horse over the moral cliff. Now, have you noticed that liberals always present their argument in terms of morality or in a moral context? It's always cast in terms of good and evil, right and wrong, compassion versus selfishness, sensitivity versus harshness, even when they're among the most selfish, sensitive people in the country. Yeah, every advance the left has made in this country has been made by capitalizing on the instinctual moral sensitivities of American people. Of course, really all people are this way. They have mastered the use of the moral argument, taking full advantage of the power of moral clarity and moral certitude. My dad was a conscientious Democrat until a few years after he became a Christian and started actually, you know, looking at the issues intelligently instead of responding to them emotionally. And he was a brilliant man. His IQ was way up there. But you see, he was a Democrat for moral reasons, actually. He was a values voter. Oh, yeah. He cared nothing about the politics of it all. His values compelled him to identify with and to vote with the idea of defending the defenseless, helping the guy that was down, you know, standing up for the little guy. He believed Democrats cared for the disenfranchised, for the ones left behind, the weak, and all of that. On the other hand, the Republicans, in his view, were the fat cats who took advantage of the little guy. They only cared about the bottom line, the business, you know, and then, of course, taxes. Now, being a businessman, he thought they had a point there on taxes, but otherwise, he bought into the stereotypes. Democrats were for the little guy, and Republicans were for the rich guys. He viewed government as the great equalizer, you know, the big stick that would keep the moneyed class from running over the poor. The Republicans never really could come up with a way to explain the moral side of their position until Reagan came along and clearly articulated his conservative principles from a moralistic point of view. That wasn't politics for Reagan. It was about people. It was about everybody getting a break. It was about freedom for everybody. It was about inspiring the human spirit to reach for something better for themselves and their families, and then getting government out of the way so they could go for it, you know, so they could fully engage in the pursuit of happiness. For Reagan, it was not about one class of Americans versus another. It was all Americans enjoying liberty and freedom from government interference so they could pursue their dreams. And he was good at articulating that and sending that message across. And my dad's conversion and the rise of Reagan coincided. He left the Democrat Party, never looked back. Reagan was able to make clear distinctions between good and evil because he was a man of with a moral center, a clearly defined moral center, moral certitude, and was able to articulate that with moral clarity. American capitalism was good because it was built on the basis of freedom, and Reagan believed every human spirit longed to be free, and so that's good. Russian communism was evil because it was built on the basis of enslavement, and tyranny is bad, so it's bad. Simple as that. It was a simple formula. Reagan's position on abortion was very straightforward. It's wrong to kill babies. An unborn child is a baby. Ergo, it's wrong. Abortion is wrong. There's great power in that kind of moral clarity. Reagan had the ability to never sound political when in the public. Now, of course, he talked politics, and he understood the give and take involved in all of that. We know that. But you never heard Reagan take a political position in public. He always framed his arguments in a moral context, every time. It was never about how do we get more votes, merely. It was his conviction that if Americans understood the truth about a subject, they could be counted on to do the right thing. That was the ringtone in everything that he said. It was a moral thing with him, you see. It seems the left understands this better than the right. Every advance the left has made, it has made by manipulating the American conscience with specious moral arguments. Amnesty for those who crossed our borders illegally, abortion, even late-term abortions, even killing the baby after it's survived a botched abortion, the gay agenda, even the idea of force-feeding our children, pro-homosexual propaganda in our schools, beginning at kindergarten, all of this is advanced in our culture by appealing to Americans' moral sensitivities. And those sensitivities are confused right now, so they're taking full advantage of it. Americans care about morality more than they let on. Virtually every ideologue lefty out there is a self-righteous boor. I mean, they are almost pharisaical in their smug self-righteousness about everything. I mean, the whole save the planet thing is advanced by putting Americans on a guilt trip, making them feel supporting their agenda is the only right thing morally to do, the only moral choice that we have. The left is a huge guilt-tripping machine. The race card game they play, it's all about manipulating people, not only by fear, but really more by guilt. You know, many have observed, and I have as well, the use of intimidation by the left to manipulate the average low-information American, and even those who are well-informed, making them afraid that they're going to be called bigot and so on. Now, I've done shows exploring the use of belligerent intimidation on the part of the left and exposing all that. However, that really is small potatoes to the amount of support energy they get from Americans when tapping into the power of guilt. Much of white America has been manipulated by the left into living under a pall of guilt. Obama's the atonement president, really. He's the payoff on America's guilt over slavery and oppression of the blacks in this country. White liberal America is on a big-time guilt trip, and we're about to trip as a nation. We're about to trip over our own guilt right into hell. I mean, as in Psalm 9:17, where God warns us nations to forget him or turn to hell. This is because the left are savvy to this truth about the American conscience. They get it. They are good at manipulating the weak conscience of the country, of Americans today, into following them really back into slavery, following them back into abject dependency, following them into bondage to all sorts of evils, and finally into a confrontation with the Almighty. The left succeeds at framing the argument for their agenda in moral contexts much more effectively than the right does. Abortion is constantly presented as an issue of a woman's right to choose. And their arguments in the debate are carefully focused on the pitiable plight of the woman forced to give birth to a child she doesn't want, or that she cannot afford, or that is going to be a great burden and inconvenience to her life. So, in fact, in the wake of the gory revelations of the Gosnell House of Horrors, Americans have had their conscience tweaked by this man, and they're disturbed. The idea that these babies who were murdered outside of the womb felt the pain and struggled for their little lives against his efforts to kill those babies. But let's touch something inside the heart of most Americans. A sensibility of the immorality of this behavior does not escape them. It has arrested their attention. Now it's being asked, well, what's the difference then between a baby murdered outside of the womb and that same baby being murdered in only 10 or 20 seconds before it breached the womb? You see, most Americans agree that a baby in the womb that can feel the pain of an effort to kill it, struggling for its life, kicking, and sometimes because of that activity, driving the scalpel into the walls of the uterus, stuff like this is going on, that babies ought to be protected from that, and the mothers should too, by the way. When the abortion question is cast in stark, clear moral terms, we win. It's only when the morality issue is hidden that the left can then make the moral argument for abortion all about the distaste Americans have for the whole idea of forcing anybody to do anything against their will, which is the reason the left has so much trouble getting public funding for abortion. That's because, in that case, it's clearly a situation where they're trying to force pro-life Americans to support something they don't want to be a party to. And so that's a very high sense of value in American conscience. And they don't go for it. So you see, the left has some difficulty with that one because they're having trouble overcoming the moral resistance to the idea of forcing something on someone. But they keep trying, and every effort is an effort to argue this from a morality point of view. They say it's wrong not to give this right of abortion to all persons. It is legal after all, so why shouldn't public money be used to help those who can't afford access to it? Again, playing the guilt trip. It doesn't quite work because so far, at least, Americans still feel that it's immoral to force Americans to pay for abortions. And that's because most Americans actually object to abortion, but they've been manipulated by the moral argument to yield to it. Anyway, the point is, it's a moral debate. The left argues every agenda in a context of morality. At the same time, somehow, they have succeeded at convincing much of the right to feel that it's wrong to impose their morality on others. You see? The left can, but we can't. If the right argues their position in a moral context, the left immediately cries foul, starts fussing about imposing our morality, and will even start chirping about separation of church and state, invariably. You see, the left always argues from the perspective of morality, but it's their morality, isn't it? The amnesty debate is all about the morality of doing right by the poor immigrants who come here so they can find a better life for themselves and their families. And who doesn't sympathize with that? In their view, that morality trumps the morality of keeping the law. For them, it's like, you know, the laws against crossing our borders illegally are like speed laws. If someone breaks a speed law because they're rushing a dying family member to the hospital, well, we would not think they should be given a ticket. They should be instead given an escort to the hospital, right? That's kind of how this whole immigration thing's been cast. And we have failed to make the moral argument there. So the left points to all the children impacted by this mess and casts their argument in terms of extending a welcome hand to these pitiable strangers. Another moral argument they use is the idea that California and Arizona and Texas, for that matter, were all taken from the Mexicans, so they have a moral right to come here, you see? It's always the moral side of the issue they use to manipulate the conscience of Americans into supporting their agenda. So you see what I mean? It's all about morality. Who has the moral high ground? Who has the strongest moral argument? Then the question becomes, what instructs your conscience, doesn't it? Is your conscience instructed by your emotions or by your reason? Bible thump alert, Bible thump alert. The Bible says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. In Isaiah 1:18, if we reason through these things, it becomes clear that the moral arguments used by the left are without foundation. They are without justification. I'm going to address this Sunday night at the Lighthouse at 6 p.m. Don't miss it. The message is titled, Gaining the Moral High Ground, subtitled, How to Break Free of Liberal Guilt. 6 p.m. Sunday night. See you there. Hold on through the break. I'll be right back. Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, your beloved brain masseur and pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria. Enroll your children in our Heroes of Faith Vacation Bible School. Each summer, Lighthouse Baptist provides a summer camp for children ages 1st through 6th grades. Parents are welcome to attend with their children. And this year, our theme is Heroes of Faith. The children will meet Noah and Elijah, and other great Bible characters, and they'll learn important life principles from their examples, such as honesty, persistence, loyalty, purity, diligence, and, of course, faith. You're invited. The dates are Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. June 24th through the 28th here at the Lighthouse. To enroll your child, call 805-347-9887. That's the church office phone number, 805-347-9887. Or go to thebrainmassageshow.com. Find the contact us by email form along the right column. Send us an email with your child's name and age. That's all we need, your child's name and age, and we'll register the child. And when you come Monday, we'll check you in. Hope to see you at Heroes of the Faith Summer Camp this year, June 24th through 28th, 9 a.m. to noon. And remember, heroes are made, not born. And at the Lighthouse, we help parents make heroes one child at a time.
Get ready for your brain massage.
Stand by.
The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your
mind. Hello, my friends. I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemies of the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberty. I mentioned that Reagan was the last conservative politician who was able to win America's heart by taking the moral high ground in debate with the left. Now, Bush tried with his compassionate conservatism. I think he made some headway with that, but he never defined this clearly enough for it to take hold in the American heart. I never really was clear on what he meant by it. It seemed like mere words. What did compassionate conservatism look like? What was it supposed to mean? What did the expression mean? Did he mean to say that conservatism, before he came along with that, was not compassionate? And then he's going to introduce a new form of conservatism called compassionate conservatism? The point is, it lacked a key ingredient to gaining moral high ground in a debate, and that ingredient is moral clarity. And I'll be speaking on the subject, how to take the moral high ground, this Sunday night. Don't miss it, 6 p.m. at the Lighthouse, 1310 West Bedaravia Road in Santa Maria. That's only 3.5 miles, by the way, from west from the Bedaravia exit from the 101 freeway. Really less than half a block west of where Skyway and Blosser intersect with Bedaravia. And after the service, by the way, I'll be glad to meet with anybody who'd like to gather with me for a little coffee, some cookies, whatever, and we'll sit and chat a little bit and you ask questions and so on. We'll have a good time. Recently, I came across a YouTube video of Elbert Guillory, senator for the 24th District of Louisiana. It so moved me. And by the way, you know what? I keep forgetting we have a YouTube channel available to the public. for the Brain Massage Show and for Lighthouse Baptist Church. One way to get there would be to go to search Brain Massage on the YouTube search site. Just search Brain Massage. You'll find me. Or my name, Jerry Scheidbach, although you might have a little challenge spelling it, S-C-H-E-I-D-B-A-C-H. Or my church, Lighthouse Baptist Church. That would do it if you had Santa Maria. Or go to our website, therainmassageshow.com. You'll see the YouTube button right there on the radio page of our website. I usually post, I don't know, three or four short subject massages, YouTube massages each week. This is a new effort. Be patient with us as we perfect it. We hope soon to get green screen capabilities and do some other interesting stuff with it. But in any event, we've got started with that and love for you to tune in. Anyway, Elbert Guillory is a Black Democratic senator for the 24th District of Louisiana, and he has switched to the Republican Party. Now, he's in for the Clarence Thomas treatment, to be sure. He did not do this for political gain. I hope the voters of the 24th District in Louisiana will stand by this dear man. He did this for principled reasons. In fact, if his motivations were merely political, he'd probably get pushed around some for his decision, and he'd of course, suffer some consequences for that, but that's about it. But he's really in for it, because what's going to infuriate his former Democratic colleagues will be the reasons he has given for making the switch. Finally, someone from the Black community who has a national platform from which to speak that will come right on out and say what many of us have been thinking for many years now. My audience knows, you know, my position on racial issues. Every human being is created in the image and likeness of God. I mean, we all share equally in the Imago Dei, okay? And in the fallen nature of Adam, we are joined together in the Massa Damnata. That is, we all have our place in the damnation of the masses, you know, Augustine and so on. For Adam's sin, tainted blood runs through all our veins, and we are all brothers in Adam, so that all have sinned and are equally in need of redemption from the sin-infected blood of Adam, where you have the only antidote in the pure, sinless blood of the Lamb of God, okay? So slavery is every bit as deplorable to me as anyone may suppose it should be. And a whole lot of white guys felt just like that about this issue right along. And finally, a whole bunch of white guys got together and said enough of this and fought a war at the cost of many hundreds of thousands of white guys to win for all men the rights articulated in our founding documents that was written by a bunch of other white guys, because a whole lot of white guys did not like slavery, hated it, and so finally shook it off. And guess what? The white guys who fought the battle to end slavery were looky here. They were Republicans. Shazam. That white president who fought for and signed into law the Emancipation Declaration was Lincoln. Yeah, white guy. And guess what? The only people resisting emancipation were a bunch of white guys who were, Democrats. Oh, yeah. Those Jim Crow laws the left is always crowing about, that was a white Democratic thing. And it was supported by white Democrats. You see, Republicans have long wondered what happened here. I mean, we fought at great cost a war to free the Black man, but somewhere along the way, the Black community came to believe the Democrats are the ones who would lift them up and help them stand as free men in the land of the free and home of the brave. But no, what the Democrats have done is create a permanent underclass of Black families held down as dependents upon the government. Well, anyway, Elbert Guillory is a Black man who gets it. Of course, he's not the only Black man I've met who gets it. I have had the great pleasure, to know as friends some wonderful Black families who totally get it. And we stand looking into one another's eyes as equals before God and before the law. We each bow the knee to one master, and that's Jesus Christ. And that's true of my Mexican friends, by the way. My Asian friends, my Filipino friends, the Jews, all the white folks, too. Our church is a very beautiful mix of all these different cultures. Let's just take a few minutes and listen to this man. Now, I'm sure you will be inspired as I was.
Hello. My name is Elbert Lee Guillory, and I'm the senator for the 24th District right here in beautiful Louisiana. Recently, I made what many are referring to as a bold decision to switch my party affiliation to the Republican Party. I wanted to take a moment to explain why I chose to become a Republican, and also to explain why I don't think it was a bold decision at all. It is the right decision. Not only for me, but for all my brothers and sisters in the Black community. You see, in recent history, the Democrat Party has created the illusion that their agenda and their policies are what's best for Black people. Somehow it's been forgotten that the Republican Party was founded in 1854 as an abolitionist movement with one simple creed, that slavery is a violation of the rights of man. Frederick Douglass called Republicans the party of freedom and progress. And the first Republican president was Abraham Lincoln, the author of the Emancipation Proclamation. It was Republicans in Congress who authored the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments, giving former slaves citizenship, voting rights, and due process of law. The Democrats, on the other hand, were the party of Jim Crow. It was Democrats who defended the rights of slave owners. It was the Republican President Dwight Eisenhower who championed the Civil Rights Act of 1957. But it was the Democrats in the Senate who filibustered the bill. You see, at the heart of liberalism is the idea that only a great and powerful big government can be the benefactor of social justice for all Americans. But the left is only concerned with one thing, control. And they disguise this control as charity. Programs such as welfare, food stamps, these programs aren't designed to lift black Americans out of poverty. They were always intended as a mechanism for politicians to control the black community. The idea that blacks, or anyone for that matter, need the government to get ahead in life is despicable. And even more important, this idea is a failure. Our communities are just as poor as they have always been. Our schools continue to fail children. Our prisons are filled with young black men who should be at home, being fathers. Our self-initiative and our self-reliance have been sacrificed in exchange for allegiance to our overseers, who control us by making us dependent on them. Sometimes I wonder if the word freedom is tossed around so frequently in our society that it has become a cliche. The idea of freedom is complex and it's all-encompassing. It's the idea that the economy must remain free of government persuasion. It's the idea that the press must operate without government intrusion. And it's the idea that the emails and phone records of Americans should remain free from government search and seizure. It's the idea that parents must be the decision makers in regards to their children's education, not some government bureaucrat. But most importantly, it is the idea that the individual must be free to pursue his or her own happiness, free from government dependence and free from government control. Because to be truly free is to be reliant on no one other than the author of our destiny. These are the ideas at the core of the Republican Party, and it is why I am a Republican. So, my brothers and sisters of the American community, please join with me today in abandoning the government plantation and the party of disappointment, so that we may all echo the words of one Republican leader who famously said, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free. At last."
Now, is that great or what? I mean, he said, somehow it's been forgotten that the Republican Party was founded in 1854 as an abolitionist movement with one simple creed that slavery is a violation of the rights of man. Isn't that great? And he refers to the fact that the first Republican president was Abraham Lincoln, the author of the Emancipation Proclamation. He mentions right out loud in front of God and everybody that it was the Republicans in Congress who authored the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments, giving former slaves citizenship, voting rights, due process of law. The Democrats resisted all of that, fought against it. The Democrats, and Mr. Guillory says it, Senator Guillory says it, just as plain as can be, the Democrats, on the other hand, were the party of Jim Crow. But this is where it really gets good. All of that was so refreshing and such a blessing to hear. But here's what really, really touched my heart. When Senator Guillory said, at the heart of liberalism is the idea that only a great and powerful big government can be the benefactor of social justice for all Americans. But the left is only concerned with one thing, control. And they disguise this control as charity. Isn't that good? Way to go. The idea that blacks or anyone for that matter need the government to get ahead in life is despicable. Amen. And he goes on to say, our self-initiative and our self-reliance have been sacrificed in exchange for allegiance to our overseers who control us by making us dependent on them. This is just beautiful. He goes on to say, the idea of freedom is complex and it's all-encompassing. Yes. more importantly, or most importantly, it's the idea that the individual must be free to pursue, I like this, the individual must be free to pursue his or her own happiness, free from government dependence and free from government control, because to be truly free is to be reliant on no one other than the author of our destiny. All right, anyway, this guy sounds like, he's kind of sounds like Reagan, doesn't he? Isn't that refreshing? And it goes to the argument I'm trying to put forward, that in order to win the hearts of Americans, we're going to have to appeal to their moral instincts. Amoral arguments are not going to move the hearts of Americans. Americans in the main are not going to be swayed by concern about taxes alone. Taxes are certainly a big issue, and there is certainly a moral element to that argument that we should be putting forward, and we're not. But they depend on Americans' greed, is generally shared, that they don't want to let go of what they've worked hard to earn. And that is certainly a factor. I'm not sure you call it greed, really. There's some justice to that. But my friend, my point is that's not enough. That standing alone will not win the day. The Democrats depend on the greed of the underachievers to content themselves with handouts from the government to keep them under control. But do you ever hear a Democrat admit this publicly? There are a few like Senator Guillory who are able to see through the facade and identify the oppressive arrogance of those on the left who want to buy off the black community with government handouts, you know, who stir up class envy and then capitalize on the energy of that anger to propel their coup, you know, to keep them in power. But these are rare indeed. The Democrats harp constantly on the morality of their position versus the immorality of ours. The issue of morality is defined entirely in terms of pity for the poor, and it's working. Most of our young people believe the Democrats are for the little guy, the Republicans are for the rich, or for the religious conservatives, and that these Republicans want to oppress women, keep children poor, pick on those different from them, kick granny to the curb, foul the air, destroy the planet, you know, all that nonsense. It's absurd. But that is what these kids believe about us. Why? We're not making the argument, friend. Don't you see it? The Democrats paint the right as immoral people who are only in it for the money or for themselves, and so on. And it's entirely because we have given up the moral argument, the moral high ground. Trying to take ground from an enemy that has the high ground is very, very difficult. It requires overwhelming force and relentless attacks. But there is one advantage that we have I'll reveal in my message on Sunday night at 6 p.m. right here at the Lighthouse. And I've got to lower the landing gear here and start lining up my landing. All right, I'm done for today. You come Sunday night, I'll give you some insight into how to take back the moral high ground in the debate over America as founded versus Obama's America, or what I call Obama's then. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. Now you call it. Let me know if you see that they are on. Call 1-888-770-8000, 1-888-770-8000, and thank you for calling. I appreciate it. Love to hear from you. And I'm especially grateful for those of you who send in some support along the way and help us with the radio cost. Thank you for that. Anyway, you call 1-888-770-8000. And if you agree with what I'm saying, you say lights on. If you disagree, you say lights off. If you say lights on, I hope you'll carry the torch, or you'll run after you see the lights are lit like Paul Revere and go about all over the place telling folks about the Brain Massage Radio Show. Call 1-888-770-8000. Leave a message for me in our listener response hotline, or go to thebrainmassageshow.com. That's thebrainmassageshow.com. And you'll find a form there to fill out. Set lights on, lights off. Write me a letter. If you're in a hurry, just click lights on, send. Or lights off, send. If you're in a hurry when you call, just say lights on, hang up. Or lights off, hang up. God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church.
Pastor Scheidbach is charging the gates of hell. Don't leave him hanging. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com to make a donation or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. For a complete brain massage experience, tune in Saturdays at 7:30 a.m. and go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com. The Brain Masseur is waiting to massage your brain with scintillating insights.